Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. And I know what you're thinking. It's Friday. That's not a question show, but we had something special for Christmas Day. Hopefully you enjoyed Christmas in the Be Our Guest podcast studios. And we're back to your listener questions today. Ricky joins me. We have some great questions, including a question about staying at Walt Disney World over the July time of year when it's really hot. Some tips for that. Taking a 9-year-old for the first time, that's another great question that we got. And also, what are the advantages and disadvantages of the swan and dolphin? So stand by for those questions and much more. But don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. 2020 is going to be upon us in just a few short days, and it's time to plan that getaway for next year down to Walt Disney World. So drop by themagicforless.com. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best when it comes to travel planners. And while you're over at the website, check out all the great specials, fill out that free no obligation quote, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to be planning a great 2020 Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, or even Adventures by Disney Vacation. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please continue to use our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help everything we do here on the show. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1582 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. That's right. It's listener questions and it's a Friday. I know we're messing with everybody's mind, but guess what? It's Christmas week. And if you don't know what day of the week it is, you're doing it right, because I have no idea. It's one of those where the holidays in the middle of the week, you just don't know if it's the weekend, football's on, hey, it's all good. Santa hopefully was good to you, and you got to celebrate with friends and family. And we're going to answer your list of questions here to kick off the weekend, just totally mess things up. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, did Santa stop in Atlanta this year?
Well, he stopped in Orlando.
You were like driving. I mean, I didn't know whether he had to just get close with the sleigh on the top of the roof of the car or something like that. I don't know.
No, he actually was able to find me in Orlando. So everything was great. Had a great Christmas. And unfortunately, I'm back home now. So that's womp womp. But that's okay. It was still a great time. And I hope everybody enjoyed following along with all the holiday fun down in Walt Disney World. So if you missed it, you can go back to our Twitter or Instagram or Facebook feeds and catch up on all that you missed from Walt Disney World this past week.
Now, I heard that Santa might leave you a note to get out of work on Thursday and today, because it is Christmas week, and really, you should be able to take a long weekend, right? Did you have to go back to the old job this week?
I had to be back on. I had to be back on Thursday, so that's why I had to drive home on Christmas Day.
Dang,
that's the problem with. Well, you know, working in the industry that I work in, like the last few days of the year, kind of. Everybody wants to, buy a car. So
people do that. I guess I still say people don't do that and people don't buy Pelotons, but who knows?
I mean, so I have to be back and doing my job, so that people can buy cars. So for the end of the year. So,
Hey, you know what? You ready for a Karnak? I haven't done.
I am ready for a Karnak.
I know. I keep forgetting to do them, and I have some great ones from listener Dennis who supplied these. All right. So I got it up to my, I got it up my head. Okay. I'm going to rip it open. The Muppets in 3D.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
Why can't the tenants in apartment 3C ever get a good night's sleep?
Oh, no. That was good.
That was a good one. I know. And there's a lot of good ones. Yes.
That was good. I enjoyed that very much. Thank you, Dennis. That was fantastic.
Okay, first question's from Nick. Hey, Mike, we're a big Disney family and go every year as we are DVC members. Our typical trip is 9 to 10 days And with a 5 and 3 year old, we typically go to the parks 5 or 6 days and enjoy our resort the remaining days to serve as relaxation days for the kids. This year, I found an issue that I'm not sure Disney thought of, or maybe they did it to regulate their crowds. But we always go the first day and the last day of our trip. Due to the expiration dates of tickets now, we can't buy a park hopper for 5 or 6 days and go on the first and last day if we use it on the first. Is there a way around this issue without buying a Flex Pass or Season Pass? I feel like a Disney expert on tips and tricks, but this one has me frustrated. Thanks, Nick is from Green Bay, Go Packers, and Brew Crew. And now that it's the off season, I can be fine with that. So, you know what? I don't think there's a hack around this, Ricky. Can you think of something? Because those dated tickets, man, they're tough.
I don't think there is either. I know, that's kind of a bummer. I'm sorry. I think you're going to have to buy another ticket. That's kind of how the whole thing works. I don't think there's a way around it.
So for those folks that don't know, so the tickets, basically, you have to now pick a start date, excuse me, for your ticket. So, you know, January 5th. And if you buy a 5-day ticket, it would be good till January 12th because you get the 5 days plus two. So if you buy a 7-day ticket, it's 9 to use it.
Yeah.
Which I understand if you're going to be there for 9 to 10 days, and you want to buy a 5 or 6 day ticket and you want to use it day one, you're right. It won't reach the end of your trip. Now, the only thing, there's not a hack that I can think of, but, and if you have a hack, you know, let me know, but I just don't think there is. The good news is, say you buy a 5 or especially a 6 day ticket, day 7, 8, 9, and 10 are dirt cheap. They're pretty cheap. I mean, you can add those on for maybe 50 or 60 bucks and make it work. It's, they load the tickets, obviously, to make them most expensive days 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. And then they want you to stay the rest of the time. You know, they want to get your dining and have you there. So incrementally, the prices are very low on the back end of the tickets, like days 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So that's an option. It depends how bad you want to keep this tradition going. I totally agree. I think it stinks because you do want to go the first day. You're excited. You want to go the last day. You're going home, but you do want to build in some resort time because that's, you know, that's what the resorts are for. And especially with kids that age, that's smart. This sounds like a perfect vacation. And I wish I had better news, but I would say, you know, look at the cost. Is it worth it? You know, or maybe just you're gonna have to change traditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be, unfortunately, what you're going to have to do is just look at how you have to change it. And that's so sad. I wish Disney would give a couple extra days, you know, but unfortunately they don't. So I get why they don't, but it would just make it so much better if they did, because people do run into this issue. So, yeah.
All right. Jenny Lee from down in Australia has a question here in our live chat. If you had a
beige
eater in your family who also wasn't a runner, where would you stay over marathon weekend? Do you know what a beige eater is?
I'm guessing someone who doesn't eat like kind of like Paige, who doesn't eat a lot of like
that food. Only eats chicken nuggets.
Yeah, maybe only eats chicken nuggets. Maybe either that or only eater. Eats beige maybe. Food. I'm okay, not entirely sure.
I would ask my personal assistant, but it will go crazy. Okay, so yeah. Let's say it's a picky eater. Where would you stay? Yeah. And also not a runner. Where would you stay over marathon weekend? so she is a runner because I can see she's got a picture in her avatar with the medals in front of the castle.
Yes.
You know what? Here's what I say, and I know this is kind of self-serving. I say if you're going down for marathon weekend, you make it as easy as possible on the runner, and the other person kind of has to sacrifice on this trip. So I would stay where that person wants to eat, where their dining is going to get met, because you do need proper fuel for a half marathon, full marathon. I would say that if you were going down and running wasn't a big deal and you have a picky eater, I would look at like a moderate resort with a good food court like a Riverside.
Yeah. I think that's a good option as a moderate resort because then they have the choices of lots of things to choose from. You know, I think that staying at a deluxe resort, the hard part about staying at a deluxe resort with picky eaters or people who don't like, you know, are kind of boring eaters, like she's
no
saying,
food court.
Yep. Yeah, is that they just don't have a food court. Their quick service options are very minimal. They don't have a lot of choices. I know that I've gone into some of those quick service places like Gasparilla Grill, and I've walked out because I was like, there's nothing on this menu that really appeals to me, looks good, whatever. So the best thing about staying at a place with a food court is that you do have a lot of options for everybody. So, you know, you maybe stay at a moderate or even a value, and then that way that person has a lot of choices that they can choose from, and you still have a lot of choices of what you can choose from as well. So that's kind of, I would probably lean towards a moderate or a value resort for that reason.
And for those playing along with the home game, Paige would be a boring eater, like no spices or chilies. So I'm going to use that from now on. I'm going to be like, Paige, why are you being so beige?
God, she's
eat something
like,
besides
what?
Chicken.
And she'll, what, Mike? Yeah.
And she'll go back to Mizzou and not talk to me again.
Exactly.
All right, Marlisa's got a question. Hey, Mike and Ricky, what are your thoughts on the Disney Visa? If either or both of you have it, do you think it's worth getting one? I know about the Disney Visa cardholder character meet and greet spots, but and I've heard there are some discounts, but not sure of any other perks. And she says, let's see here. That by the time this airs, it's post Rise of the Resistance or Rise of Skywalker. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, that's
so
true.
Excited for that. May the Force be with us.
Yes.
So you are a Disney Visa holder, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Do you have the $99 a year card? I have the Premier.
Do.
Okay, me too. Okay, so yes. Give your thoughts on it.
So we pay our card off every single month. So both Brian and I have the $99 option. So we get, it's what, 2% on, you know, like things like Disney vacations, you know, or, and groceries, I think, and a couple of other things.
I think like
so
gas.
Gas, maybe, yeah. Yes. So we get 2% cash back or whatever it is, Disney rewards on those things. And then we get 1% for everything else. I used to have the original version where it was just 1% on everything. And then, you know, the way we do things, and since we do pay things off, you know, monthly, it just made more sense to get more bang for my buck. So we decided to go ahead and pay the $99 fee and do that option. So I get more out of my, get more out of the rewards yep. overall that way. So like I get more rewards dollars that way than I, you know, would have, you know, just doing the 1%. As far as the perks, I mean, yeah, you do get to do the meet and greet option. You do get to do the you get discounts at I think like World of Disney, and you get discounts on
especially World of Disney. That's the one that I've always used. Yeah, discount.
You get discounts on tours and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You also can get discounts on some dining at like resorts. It's very like hit or miss. So sometimes I'll go into a resort and I'll pay with my annual pass, or I'll say I have an annual pass, and then I whip out my Disney Visa, and they're like, "Oh, this your Visa, Disney Visa."
I always hand them both, like show them both, so that they can see, and then the you know a good cast member will say, "Oh, well, we don't take annual pass, but hey, there is a 10% Disney Visa here," and they can see
right.
that I have that.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are a few discounts at some of the resort restaurants at select times as well. And like I said, since I pay mine off every month, you know, it's basically free money for me because I rack up the rewards dollars and then I use the rewards dollars. Mostly I use them to pay for my annual pass. Actually, that's kind of how I afford my annual pass is I rack up a lot of Disney dollars.
That's exactly, you know what? I just renewed mine like 3 days ago. I renewed an entire annual pass with rewards points and had more left over.
So this year, I used my rewards dollars to pay for my flight to London. That's how we went to London, because I used all my rewards dollars to pay for that. And that was back in like about 8-9 months ago at this point. And then I've already at the point where I am at the halfway point to pay for my annual pass. And everybody knows how expensive annual passes are now. And my annual pass, well, at this point, I will have renewed it. But at the point of recording, I had not quite yet. And so I'm going to do that while I'm down at Disney. And I'm going to use my rewards, points for that.
I think the renewal was like $1,021 or something.
Yeah,
like that. It was crazy.
So,
and
I have half of it just with rewards points. So, you know, I don't, you know, for like I said, for me, it's free money because I pay it
off
every
month.
That's
me too. That's, I think the big thing, what I would offer her is start off with the free Disney Visa because there is the free one with the 1%. Try it for a while. The key is pay it off every month because like Ricky said, that I do the same. I put everything on that card.
I put everything on it. Absolutely.
Everything. I mean, not like my mortgage or anything like that, but I mean like anything I would spend money.
I
don't do that.
I don't know if we do mortgage, but like we pay bills with
See,
ours.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I pay some bills. Yeah, I do pay some bills with it, I guess. Not all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, I'm not, you know, but the thing is, if you pay it off every month and you have the free card, you're not getting hit with interest, and you know that's you win-win. And then when I looked at the $99 one, I was like, the benefits I'm going to get from the increased rewards points, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Yeah, I'm paying $99, but I'll probably make, you know, 500 more in points every year. So it's, you just got to kind of compute things. Also, one of the perks is if you're getting a Disney Cruise or a Walt Disney World Vacation package, not a room only, room onlys don't qualify, but a package that has like room and tickets, it's got the 8-digit number rather than a 12, if you're really getting technical, that does qualify you for 6 months, zero interest financing, which means you can kind of pay it off in chunks over half a year. So that's kind of, a lot of people use that for, especially cruises, because they're expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
you get the cool looking cards. Like, I got a Millennium Falcon card right now.
So sweet. I will admit, I have had the Castle card. I've actually had two of them, because whatever process they use to put the Castle on the card, it has completely destroyed the card.
That's Pam's. My wife has the Castle one, and I mean, it looks like it was eaten by an alligator. I'm like, I wouldn't take that if you presented that to me. That thing looks like it's been driven over.
Twice I've gotten that card. I actually just had to because you can, the nice thing about the Disney Visa card is that you can update your card design at any point for free. Like, they will just send you a,
a couple right now. Yeah.
If you Mickey go on, they will let you, update. So I went on to update my card because my card design had just gotten destroyed. And I went with the Mickey card this time. And it looks like with the Mickey one, they used a different finish on it. So that's good. And so far, I mean, I've only had it like a couple weeks, but so far so good for that card. It's lasted me 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So that's
Now they're like, they're better made. They're like tap to pay and they're flat and stuff like that.
So I'm wondering if the Castle one is different now, because they did seem to make a change to the other cards. So I'm wondering if it'll, but I don't want to chance it. So
I'm a big fan too. And you know what? Here's the kind of the last perk of that. It's kind of a conversation starter with like waitresses and waiters at restaurants and stuff. Like, oh, have you been to Disney World? Have I been to Disney World? Let's talk. And you know, I've actually had some great conversations with people just paying at retail places.
Brian has the Darth Vader card, and he gets people all the time who say, oh my gosh, I love your card. Yeah, so yeah, he gets it all the time. Yeah.
The Taco Bell guy loves my Millennium Falcon card.
So. I'm hoping that with my Mickey one, it'll be more recognizable and people will start like saying that they like my card, because less people like knew what the castle was. So.
All right, Meg's got a question. What are some of the must-do attraction shows, etc., for a 9-year-old girl who's going to Walt Disney World for the very first time? I feel like I should know this, as I've been to Walt Disney World countless times, having done the college program and solo trip since, but I'm just not sure what things she would absolutely do and what is okay to skip. I've never been to Disney with a kid, so I'm a little lost, since I don't know if she'd love doing all the things that I love to do every trip. We likely will only be going for 4 full park days, so I'd like to make the most of it. So obviously, you know, the big things, especially somebody that's 9, you got to know like how scaredy she is. But I would say she would like 7 Dwarves, Big Thunder, because those are kind of big kid rides, but not going to freak her out. Space Mountain might be on the edge. She might not like that. It might scare her to death. Everest might be too much, because I think they really want to be grown up at 9, but they don't want to be scared out of their wits. So I would say things like, but here's the thing. I would not discount things like Pirates. Enchanted Tales with Belle could be something she falls in love with, because they're still little kids at that point. Even though they want to be grown up, if you put them in an environment like Enchanted Tales with Belle, she might really get into the storytelling, the meeting Belle, all that. I think that that's a really perfect age for that. Even though it's kind of on the older, I don't think it's on the older edge, but some people might say. I think she'd really like that. Maybe do something special like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, because in 2-3 years, she's never going to do that again. You know, this is like your last chance on stuff like that, meeting princesses like at an Akershus over in Norway. So what else could you suggest?
I think meeting princesses is a really good option, because I still feel like you said, Mike, that feels like the right age still for that. I know I just hung out with my 11-year-old niece and over the Christmas holidays, you know, and I know that I think she's starting to get a little too old for it. And, you know, in her mind, like she'd be, you know, she's never been to Disney, but I feel like just the conversations that we had, you know, she would like thumb her nose at, you know, going to meet the princesses at that age. So I feel like 9 would be the right age for that. So definitely go meet the princesses, go meet the characters. That's going to be a fun thing, I think, to do. As far as the rides go, I mean, definitely need to gauge how she is at maybe other places. So if she is a thrill seeker at like a Six Flags or something like that, then know that she'll be comfortable riding those kind of same kinds of attractions at Walt Disney World. But if she's a little more timid at those places, then definitely steer away towards like the coasters. I think that those are kind of the more terrifying things for kiddos, you know, or, you know, people like me who didn't ride a coaster until they were 18. So,
you know, what I've learned too is like, you know, I always thought that Mallory at 9 or 8 wouldn't enjoy things like Tiki Birds or Carousel of Progress, but we'd come home and she'd be singing those songs. And yeah, that was the stuff she remembered. I thought we were just going in that because I wanted to for nostalgia purposes and she was just with me. Mm-hmm. But coming back, she did end up enjoying the classics more than I would expect. I thought she'd be more on the cutting edge of like the new stuff.
I would maybe say Rock and Roller Coaster might not be an option.
You'll get a great picture for one time.
You're going to get a great picture, but don't take her on Rock and Roller Coaster. That's going to be my one, like, don't do. Like, don't. Unless she's a thrill seeker. If she's a thrill seeker, then okay. But if she's not, like, if she's even on the fence about thrills, like, do not do Rock and Roller Coaster. That's my one. And you might want to consider if doing Tower of Terror, like, maybe not doing that too, just because up and down and you don't know how many times you're gonna go up and down might be a little jarring for something.
I've seen younger kids really enjoy that one. I don't get it. They're like real thrill seekers. I don't know, it's Christmas week, who knows.
Thrill seekers, that's kids. It let's get the hashtag going.
That's it. All right, next question. We got them rolling in here, but yeah, have a great time, Meg, because that is just a special time to have a kid there. It's so, you know, you're taking her. She's going to remember that for the rest of her life, no matter what you do, even if you don't ride hardly anything. She can remember that time she went with you to Walt Disney World. So have the best time. Veronica's got a question. Hey, all, we're arriving to the world on January 6th. I get there on the 7th. And we'll be starting up our first ever annual pass. Woohoo!
Yay.
She says, isn't that the greatest? That's another thing. Looking back on that one show, I never would have thought I'd have an annual pass. I swear, I never would have thought that. I thought, who from Missouri has an annual pass to someplace in Florida?
Yes.
You know, like, that's crazy, but I've had one. Anyway, any recommendations on the best place to do this? For example, should we do it at Epcot and then go in and get the special magnet? Still learning all the pass holder perks. So I will tell you my hack when it's busy. Now, January 6th, that's kind of that tweener. Like, marathon weekend's going to start getting crowded the next day. Like, when I arrive, that's Tuesday. Because people are going to start arriving because the expo's Wednesday. That's some Monday, I guess. You're probably okay to go ahead and just do it at Epcot. What I did one time, I had to renew my annual pass or get my annual pass on New Year's Day because that's when we arrived. I did it at Disney Springs, and it was great because you don't have, like, the crush of the parks, and people aren't thinking they can do it there, and there's not as many people. Mm-hmm. So Disney Springs is a good hack. You can do it there. They have back then it was the guest services place. Now they have a ticket like store, actually.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It's like kind of by Uniqlo. But that's kind of a hack, but I think you're going to be fine anywhere. And it's exciting. Boy, when you get that, it's like, I have it in hot little hands.
That's true. The only place I probably wouldn't do it is the Magic Kingdom, just because that's going to be just a disaster with everybody, you know, and their brother. That's the first park everybody goes to. And so everybody's buying tickets at the Magic Kingdom. So that might be the park I wouldn't buy it at. But any of the other parks, I think, will be fine. There's also, if, you know, depending on where you're coming from, the International Gateway at Epcot, that's the back entrance for
Epcot. Used to be the hack. I don't know how much of a hack it is nowadays.
I know you had a bad experience there, but getting through the line.
Did I get tased or something? I don't remember having a bad experience there, but I'm just saying, like,
oh,
just
no,
more
wait,
people.
It was Pam. It was Pam, remember? Because they had to, they, it was like,
yes.
It was,
I was,
it
say,
was
I
4th of July.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
she's still on probation, but we can't talk about it. She's
yes, exactly. So that entrance there, they did build like a freestanding building now for, the International Gateway. So that's an option. Less people tend to go that route, but if it is like packed and it is busy, there's not as many windows that you can go to either. So it's something to keep in mind too. Whereas if you go to the main entrance and get your park tickets, you're definitely like, you're going to go through the line a lot faster. Usually, even if the line is long, you're going to go through pretty fast. So I've never stood in line for a really, really long time. They usually try to, you know, expedite that as quickly as possible because they want you in the park. So that's good. I would, if you want to get your magnets, definitely go to Epcot. I mean, that's going to be, that's going to be key. Although I don't know if they'll have magnets for when you're talking about going, because the magnets are really only offered for like the festivals.
No, the magnets, they usually have the magnets year round, not the coasters and gifts. I've got magnets a lot of times.
They only have the magnets for like the special, like the festivals. So the time that she gets there is right after the festival of the holidays. So I don't know if they'll still have magnets. And it's before the Festival of the Arts. So I don't know if they'll have magnets.
You may hear a scream because as we're recording, the snow day text just came through for tomorrow.
So got it.
Just in case you hear, nobody's getting murdered in the Be Our Guest podcast studios. Just we got the snow day call. So
got a snow day.
All teachers know exactly what I'm talking about. And I know that we're on Christmas break as this comes out, but that we are recording a little bit early. All right, next question from Sarah Thomas. What are your thoughts on staying at the Swan or Dolphin opposed to staying at other Disney properties? And some tips on staying at Walt Disney World in July. Talk about it, boy. It's late December. We're talking July. Okay, so I've stayed at the Swan Dolphin for a media event. I didn't pay. You know, it's just where they put us up. I didn't pay. I stayed at the Dolphin. It was fine, but it was like going, the location was great. It was great for running. It was great getting to Epcot in the studios. It was like staying at the Boardwalk Yacht Club or Beach Club as far as like, you know, the logistics of getting from here to there. Couldn't use Magical Express. That was kind of, now, Ricky, close your ears. Yeah. But they did pick me up in a limo with like one of the signs.
Okay, yeah.
Not a
thanks,
limo, but
Mike.
A big old like,
thanks
I felt like that was a pleasure, like a big
yeah,
SUV.
I'm Mike Roman. No, I get to go to meetings.
That was the only time. That was the only time that I had a guy standing there with an iPad that said Mike Roman. When I got a selfie, I was like, I got to send this to my wife because she's teaching school today and I got to send her. So anyway, I did that. But
I'm like a schmo stuck at
whatever.
Home.
It was fun. So, but yeah, I stayed there and it was fine, but it was like going to a soccer tournament, like with a very nice hotel. But it wasn't Disney. I mean, if you'd have asked me, you could stay at the Dolphin with that location and all those perks, or if we could put you up at Pop Century, I'd have taken Pop Century in a heartbeat, even though it's a value. And plus, I'd have Magical Express, and you just get more like Disney. It just feels more Disney. I missed it. I totally did miss it. But I mean, I'm like the one percenter, like, you know, Disney fan. Like, I'm over the top. I need Disney, like, all over the place. Like, maybe people don't need that. Maybe they just need a quiet hotel room that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think the good thing that the Swan and the Dolphin have going is that the pricing is usually pretty decent, and you can get discounts a lot of times. So, you know, if you look at that, then I start to think, well, you are pretty close to Epcot and Hollywood Studios, and location is pretty awesome. So, you know, with that being said, could I give up maybe having the Disney touches all over for that location for a cheaper price, so I don't have to pay the prices for the Boardwalk or the Beach and Yacht Club? I might consider it. So
maybe.
The only thing to keep in mind, they do have some fees and stuff like that. So they do have parking fees if you have a car.
Resort fees.
And resort fees. So you do have to keep that stuff in mind. It's not going to be the price you see is not necessarily going to be the price you're paying when you get out the door. So just know that you're going to have some additional fees that you may have to pay.
Okay, and so going in July, though, real quick, I would just say the hours are long at the parks. It's going to be busy, and the hours are going to be long. So I say get up. You got to go at rope drop when it's cooler. Beat the crowds. You need to be out of the parks by noon and go back around dinner time. That's my biggest tip, and go swim in your pool because it's just, you cannot be in the parks all day in July. It's too hot.
And if you are in the parks all day, which I have done, definitely want to make sure you catch some of those shows and things that have lots of air conditioning. So, you know, that's usually when I go do Carousel Progress or Tiki Room or, you know, Festival of the Lion King, Finding Nemo. Like, that's when I hit up those shows and experiences because you're in the air conditioning. You're there for a while, relatively speaking. So that part's nice.
All right.
I wanted to go back to the magnet thing, by the way, because somebody did mention you do. If she's talking about the orange Mickey magnet, that does get mailed to you. You don't get that one in the park. So I just wanted to clarify that. So, anyway.
But still do research. You may get one in the park. I'm just thinking.
I've never gotten one in the park, and I'm pretty ticked off because somehow they have my address wrong, and so like I don't ever get my Mickey mail, so I never
get
Mickey my
mail.
Orange.
It's all, I keep getting all stuff for Ricky, and it's like it's awesome.
Exactly. I never get my orange magnet. Like I have one from like one time that they sent me mail that I actually got, but for some reason they have one of my old addresses, and I think they have my address in Albuquerque still like listed, and I'm like I haven't lived there in 5+ years, so
you
I don't
haven't
know
lived
why
there since they made the Lone Ranger.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't know why you still have that address on file, because I haven't lived there in forever. So I never get my orange magnet. So Brian gets his, though. That's usually the one I steal. I steal his magnet.
I'm sure. Brian doesn't get one. Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't want his orange magnet. So yeah, I steal his and put his on my car.
All right. Justin's got a question. He says, if you use Galaxy's Edge in the new Star Wars hotel experience as a model, which ride or land in each of the other parks would you choose for Disney to build a similar hotel experience? Thanks. Excited to hear what you say.
Oh.
This could actually be a full show, I think.
This could. All right.
So let's kind of table that and let's write it down, because I think that's a good show idea, especially with Pam back.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
That's a whole show, and I don't want to shortchange it. And actually, I want to think about that one a little long.
I do too.
I like that idea.
I do. I like
Justin,
that one too.
I'm not dodging your question. It's just gold. Like, when we get a question like this, that's gold. We're going to save that one. Table it. Okay, thanks,
Mike,
Justin.
Write it down.
I need to. I got another one written down here, too.
Okay.
All right, Yvonne has a question. Hello, all. It's been a while since I've been to Disney World. I live closer to Disneyland. I've made my FastPass selections. However, I'm not at all interested in my third choice at Hollywood Studios. Can I just use my Magic Band and not really experience the attraction, then pick another one, hopefully for the for Tier 1 if available? So, Ricky, how's that? Because you're right. I mean, sometimes, especially with the studios, it's kind of messed up right now.
It's absolutely messed up right now. So, here's a hack that people don't know. You don't have to make all three Fast Passes. Did you know that? No, you don't have to do it. You can just make two if you want. And then once you're there and once you've used those two, you can then make that next fast pass for whatever attraction that you want. It can be one of the attractions that's in the first tier. It does depend on if that attraction is available. But if it is, you're absolutely, it's pretty much fair game at that point. They will let you make any fast passes that you want. So that's something that a lot of people don't know, is they think they have to make those three fast passes. And I've gone into Hollywood Studios and only had like one fast pass. And then, you know, because I was like, I don't really want to see the shows. So then I go back, and then I ride the attraction. And then when I'm in the park, I can make any other fast pass that I want.
There's your tip. I like when those are easy answers. That's a good
I know.
One.
It is. So don't worry about wasting that last fast pass for something you don't want to. You don't have to.
Yeah. All right. Next question is from the inbox. Touring plan suggestions for marathon weekend. It's from Trish Rollins. She says, I'm going to be running my first Run Disney half marathon in January. Exciting. Right now, I bet you Trish is like nervous. Don't be nervous. I used to run the half marathon, and that was my only run of the year. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You were thinking about looking back on things like a couple
I know.
Weeks ago. Seriously, I used to just never train, just show
no,
up like
didn't.
Some dope and get out there and run 13 miles.
Not
and I would,
dopey.
No,
dope.
Just
dope.
Some idiot. And I would run the thing. Like, I'd walk a lot of it, but run a little bit, get to the finish. And that was back when I drove. And then I'd drive home the same day.
You did.
I remember, like, in Georgia, like Tennessee, when I had to get gas, like, I could barely, like, lift the pump.
It I know. I don't
crazy.
Know how you did that. That
I don't
was
know
insane.
Either. I couldn't do it at this age anymore. Anyway,
no.
back to Trish. She's running her first half marathon in January. She's running with her dad and brother. They're flying down to MCO on Thursday night, staying at Pop Century. I'll be there too. We have 3-day park hopper tickets. We're leaving Sunday at 3:00 to go home. With the boarding pass system in effect, I'm afraid we won't get a boarding pass to ride it on our non-race day. I was wondering what your plan and advice would be for runners that want to ride Rise of the Resistance over marathon weekend. I'm excited to run my first Run Disney event, and your podcast has accompanied me on many runs. Thank you, Trish. Well, thank you for taking us, because I take podcasts with me on every run. And honestly, Leo Laporte and Matt and you know, everybody, I listen to so many other shows, keep me company. So I appreciate that. Rob Sesternino with all the Survivor talk, stuff like that, Big Brother. Anyway, so I can't tell you, because I want to ride Rise too, and I don't have to fight all of our 2,000 lizards. No, just kidding. I'm going down Tuesday night so that I can be there bright and early at 4 a.m. on Wednesday, because that's my really kind of day where I just have to get the expo done. So they're getting there on Thursday night. So they're going to be there Friday. Friday's the 10K. So Friday morning, I would go at the crack of dawn. You know,
maybe
just watch the trends. But I mean, I would be there by like 5 a.m. at the latest and try to get that thing, because you can't do it on Sunday because your boarding group likely might be after noon. And if you're riding Magical Express, you'd have to be on Magical Express at noon.
Yep.
So like I'm going down Tuesday night. I'm going Wednesday, man. I'm just going to just ride it out and suck it up and hopefully get it in Wednesday. And then because I can go to the expo whenever that day, you know, like say I get like a late boarding group. I'll just get my boarding group, go over to the expo, come back.
Yep.
I don't know. There's not a good answer, but that's probably it.
That's the only answer, is you're going to have to get up at super early dawn on Friday and attempt to ride. That's your really your only choice, because like you said, Sunday you could get up super early. If by chance you didn't get to ride it on Friday, and hope that you get a boarding pass that allows you to ride in time, but I can't guarantee that you would. So I would definitely try for Friday for sure. And then maybe do Sunday if you can't, and hope and pray that you get a good boarding pass time. That's the only thing I can say.
Yeah. Jennifer makes a good point, because she is from St. Louis in the West Plex out here where I live. Run Disney trained you that where if you sleep in till 4, it's kind of like sleeping in, because you typically get up at 2:30 for the races.
That's funny. That's actually true. You guys are gonna totally get your boarding passes for Rise, because you do get up so early for marathon weekend. So yeah,
they should give you one just like with your medal, especially like if you're, I'm saying, I know that all the races are important, but if you do Dopey, come on now, you run 48 miles, you drop $600 on entry fees. Let me ride Rise with my medal.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't be fair.
No.
Yeah, we're all about fair.
I mean, if we're saying, wishing things like that, I wish I got one Rise fast pass with my annual pass. I pay enough for that sucker. I should at least have one.
No. I'm against that. All right, last question of the day. Annual pass question. It's from Kevin. Hey, guys. Love the podcast. Thanks for all the great content you put out. Thank you so much for listening. I have a question for you in regards to an annual pass purchase. My family of 4 will likely be purchasing annual passes. Okay, first of all, I've done this, and you just need to have like a defibrillator handy when they give you the bill, because it's ridiculous. It's like, oh my gosh, I could have bought a car. The next time we're planning to go will be to Walt Disney World in July or August of 2020. Here's my question. Would you purchase the annual pass now to avoid possible price increases, or would you add it on later? Thanks for your help, Kevin. So here's the thing. I'm not real good with annual passes, because as a travel agent, we're not allowed to sell annual passes. We can sell Magic Your Way tickets, which can be upgraded to annual passes upon arrival, which is what I encourage people to do, because you can book a package, get package discounts, and then once you arrive, just pay the difference. You've already paid for the ticket, so if the ticket costs like $400 as part of your package, you just pay the difference and you have an annual pass when you arrive. And it also breaks your payment up into two chunks, which I like. You know, pay a little now and a little then. I think that's a great tip. But if I was just straight buying annual passes, I would get it as soon as you can. But now there's some rules, like they have to be activated within a certain amount of time, and otherwise you got to pay the difference anyway. I mean, Disney's figured out all the workarounds at this mm-hmm. point.
Yeah, they have. So I guess, you know, do what you're comfortable with. I think that that's kind of going to be the key, is do what you would prefer doing. You know, whether you pay it all the chunk at one time, or you kind of piece it out, like Mike was saying, get a package and then pay the rest when you get there and upgrade that way. Yeah, you just do what you're comfortable with. I think that's the best choice.
That's good advice. Do what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. Let's. I think we need to get out of here on that one.
I think we do. Yes. Go celebrate. It's not like we haven't been celebrating enough this week. So let's go celebrate the weekend, right?
That's right. In today's show, as we get out of here, thank you so much for your questions. Send those to Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com or drop by the Facebook page. Usually on Mondays around 5:45 Eastern, we have a fun time with our chatters from all over the world. Thanks to everybody who joined us tonight. We sure appreciate that. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. They are going to be there for you 24/7, 365 to make sure that you're getting a great deal on your next Disney vacation, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. I have a guest headed down to Machu Picchu. How cool is that? Down in Peru. It's going to be so much fun. So we can do that for you, get you a great deal, and of course take care of you from the time you think of the trip all the way to the time you get back. So check them out today. Drop by the magicforless.com while you're there. Fill out that free no obligation quote form and put in Be Our Guest Podcast when it asks, where did you hear about us? Because then you and I are going to be working together, and it's going to be awesome. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please continue to use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and everything does help support everything we do here on the show throughout the year. So again, bookmark it and use it often, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at brguestpod and at beourguestmike. And of course, facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Have a great one. Continue to celebrate the holiday with your friends and family. And whatever you do out there, stay safe. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. We will see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.